Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 251, recorded May 18th, 2015.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers. You know, we never did do anything for 250.
Well,
300's coming up.
Yeah, sorry.
So it's okay.
Tired and
well,
moving.
We did do an episode, but we didn't do like anything fancy for 250. Well, that's okay.
We could pretend that we had balloons in the room and they would never know.
Now they will.
Well, I mean, you know, next time. They'll forget.
Okay. Well, who have we got lined up?
We have Daphne in Missouri and Finn in Central California and Matt in Perth, Western Australia.
Cool. So what does Daphne have for us?
Daphne actually sent us a video, and she purchased some Opayula from, I don't remember his name, the guy in Texas, the same guy that you bought them from,
mm-hmm.
and had a buried female already.
Right, so. She's the one who's already sent us videos of her tank setup and of her Opayula zipping around, and now she sent us a video of a buried female,
mm-hmm.
not B-U-R-I-E-D, but B-E-R-R-I-E-D. In other words, Ovigerous. She's...
Because that's way clearer.
What?
Ovigerous.
Oh, sure it is. What? Oh.
Well, I know what it means.
I know you know what it means. But it's carrying eggs. And it's really cool that they're already carrying eggs. I mean, she hasn't had the setup for very long. So it's a good sign that she's treating them right if they're starting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So soon after she's got them. That's cool.
So we'll put that video up.
Yeah.
And you guys can go take a look.
Yep. And in a month or so, if all goes well, she should have some little larvae floating around in the tank, which they do for about 2 weeks or so before they settle down and become essentially miniature adults. I always like to watch the little ones float around. They have their legs, rather than being legs that allow them to walk, are more like little propellers that make them kind of move around in the water.
Through the water?
They're kind of fun. And they hang head down the whole time until they get to a point when they start sticking onto surfaces. And at that point... Oh, we forgot to turn that off again, didn't we?
Sorry.
At that point, their legs start to develop a little bit more, and then soon after that, they just look and act like tiny little adults, basically. So... yeah, we'll put that up on the YouTube channel and on the show page so you can check it out. The nice thing is, too, she got some pretty close-up shots of the Opayula, and they're quite clear. It can be difficult to get a good shot of Opayula up close, but they're good shots with good light, and you can see the eggs very clearly. And fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have a first for the Aquarimax podcast. We've had lots of wonderful humans write into us. But we have never before had a fish write in.
Is that true? Never, ever?
Not that I can remember.
Certainly an unusual occurrence.
I don't think it's happened before.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it has and I just forgot, but...
Well, even if it has, it's been a very long time. Mm-hmm. We welcome the piscine diversity that it brings to the mix.
Yes. So, this is from Finn in Central California. Says, "Dear Russ and Kelly, my human companion, Paul, works as a radio station engineer, and because of the rain and windstorm we're having in Central California right now, he's been very busy driving around to fix broken radio station transmitters and disc jockey equipment. The storm causes power failures, and that breaks and burns up electronic equipment that Paul has to go fix at all times of the day and night. So, since Paul is busy, I thought I would contact you directly and say how excited I was to hear about Aquarimax podcast number 250, in which you devoted an entire segment to me. I am Finn, and I'm a fabulous fish, but even I didn't expect a whole segment devoted to my health, happiness, husbandry, and snack food choices. It's nice to finally have my fishy fabulousness recognized by those in the know." "Attached is a short video of my home, a Bowfront 16-gallon acrylic tank with a light-emitting diode lighting hood. My tank was purchased at PetSmart as a beginner's kit, but even though it is a low-dollar entry-level product, we think it is pretty darn spiffy. In the video, you might spot my collection of Java ferns and my Anubias plant. Paul discovered the hard way that I will eat, chew up, tear apart, and otherwise vandalize any other type of aquarium plant that I see. We learned together, through trial and error, that these two species of aquatic plants taste awful, so I pretty much leave them alone. In the video, you will also see my internal filter that is made from a plastic drink bottle and the power head that came with my tank tit. Can we try that again? I'm sorry. In the video, you will also see my internal filter that is made from a plastic drink bottle and the power head that came with my tank kit. Water is sucked in the bottom and passes through three layers of mechanical filter media, a coarse sponge to catch large bits of poop, uneaten food, and bits of plant matter, a layer of 3M green scouring pad to act as a medium-sized particle filter, then a layer of polyfill to really polish my water by removing the smallest bits suspended in the water. The mechanically clean water then passes through four layers of plastic pot scrubbies that Paul bought from our local dollar store. The pot scrubbies have a lot of surface area, where colonies of nitrifying bacteria can live and work to convert toxic ammonia and nitrite into nitrates. The plants in my tank convert the nitrates into harmless nitrogen gas as part of their photosynthesis process, and what the plants can't use, Paul labors to remove with frequent and backbreaking water changes. I wish I could tell you more details about the nitrogen cycle at work in my tank, but the biochemistry gets pretty complex, and after all, I'm just a goldfish. Paul was inspired by Russ's idea to dig up some earthworms and let them chill out for a day or two in some damp paper towels. It was so hard for me to wait, but when I got them, they were so delicious, and there was no filthy dirt in them. Paul dug them from under the chicken coop, so you can imagine what they must have been eating. We learned something about the earthworms, too. While I was eating one and savoring the delicate flavors, a second worm floated to the bottom of my tank and settled on the gravel. Well, I'll tell you what, that worm took off digging down in the gravel and escaped just like he was in his home turf under the chicken coop. I nearly laughed my scales off watching Paul dig through the substrate to catch that worm and pull him back out of the gravel before he got away for good. In the end, I swallowed him whole, and because of all the excitement, he was even more delicious than the other worms. Paul says we might try Daphne and Scuds if we can find some room to set something up for them. Yum, yum. Bye for now, your fabulous friend, Finn. I think that's the alliteration award at the end there.
I think it is. And this is, that's fun. We don't often get, like you say, fishy contributors to the extent that they're actually fish. Is cool. And it was very considerate of Finn to do that since Paul was unable to do so, being busy.
Yes, that was very kind.
We really liked the video that you sent, and we'll put that on the show page so everyone can check it out. Enjoyed looking at the filter and the filters that Paul had put together. Custom-made, homemade filters.
Very interesting. I recognize the pot scrubbies.
Yeah, you did.
I looked and I was like, those are the little vegetable scrubbers from the sink.
And I think the word you then used was genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
I have enjoyed building filters out of common household items on occasion, too. Mm-hmm. So it was fun to see. And I think that they were quite well thought out filters.
Lots of surface area.
Yep. That was fun to see. And some other cool things that I noticed, like the Java ferns and the Anubias. Those are the plants that I've typically used with goldfish too. And I've found it depends on the goldfish. Some goldfish will eat even Anubias. Had that happen. Mm-hmm. But right now we have goldfish that leave the Anubias alone. And that's nice. We don't have Java fern in that tank right now, but of course it is a good resistant plant. There are very few that you can keep with goldfish, but interesting that you hit upon those two, because those are the ones that are often recommended. But as mentioned, this was done by trial and error, so that was kind of fun that worked out the same way. So everyone check out the filters and the tank itself. It looks like it was fun to see that we've heard how Finn was living in such a nice setup, but now being able to see it was fun. One thing that some of our listeners might have caught on to. Now, I think Finn is extremely knowledgeable for a goldfish as to the workings of the nitrogen cycle and so on. But I'd just like to point out one thing that technically, to my understanding, nitrogen, though it is used by plants, is technically not part of photosynthesis itself, but is part of the growth process of the plants. Photosynthesis itself refers merely to the process, the chemical process that makes sugars using sunlight as the energy source. So nitrogen itself, while it is very much involved in plant growth and is used to make amino acids by plants, is not technically part of that. So, but you did much better than any other goldfish I've ever heard about at Finn, so I wouldn't worry about it. And let's see.
He's quite well spoken for mm-hmm. goldfish.
Very. And the earthworms. Now, this was, it was a funny story to hear, first of all. And I'm kind of sorry I didn't tell Paul about that possibility beforehand, that the worms could dig into the gravel. But it does remind me of another funny story. When I was a kid, and I had gone up into the mountains and caught some larval tiger salamanders, which are completely aquatic when they're larval, very much like an axolotl. They're closely related, same genus. And in fact, there are populations of tiger salamanders that are just like axolotls, very reluctant to metamorphose into adults, but are still able to reproduce. Apparently it happens depending on various things, the altitude and the depth of the lakes and whether or not there are predators in the lakes, different things like that. So, at any rate, the ones that I had were larval, and I was feeding them earthworms. But at the time, now this was how many years ago? More than 20. A long time ago.
Enough years ago.
Right? Yeah, probably more than 25 years ago. And I was... I dropped some worms in to feed these larval tiger salamanders, and some of the worms escaped into the undergravel filtration plate.
Oh, goodness.
And for those of you who have had undergravel filters, you know that there's a raised plate, and there's underneath sort of a zone there that's kind of open, and detritus collects there. But there is a constant, if slight, flow of water caused by the uplift tubes. You know, in the air stones and the uplift tubes, or the air... anyway, there's air going up the tubes, and it draws a current through the gravel into this area underneath the plate, and then up through the tubes, and it's a constant flow. And the idea is that allows a fair amount of oxygen, and all the surface area in the gravel provides, you know, a place for the bacteria to do their work. At any rate, I found some months later, I had been moving tanks around, something like that, and I was taking this tank down to move it somewhere else, or I don't remember what I was going to do with it, but anyway, I removed the gravel and the filter plates, and guess what I found under there?
Hmm.
A bunch of happy, healthy earthworms, months later. And apparently, if they get enough oxygen, earthworms quite happily live in water.
That's funny.
Long term.
They could be... water worms.
Yeah, they were eating the detritus and everything that was down under there, and were perfectly happy to do so. And the fact that it was an undergravel filter and there was enough oxygen flow through that area kept them perfectly happy.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. It's not something you would think of, but mm-hmm. I hadn't fed anything in that tank worms for months, and there they were, perfectly fine. I don't know if they reproduced. I don't recall whether they did or not, but they were there.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, because Paul didn't have an undergravel filter in that tank, it's likely enough that there wouldn't have been enough oxygen for the worm to have survived in the gravel there. But, I digress. Anyway, thought that might be kind of funny to hear.
Your story. Oh, excuse me.
Now... talked about that. Okay. All right. Well, I think it's time to
go to Australia.
Yeah. So okay. Thank you, Finn.
And yes.
We hope Paul gets a little bit of R&R after all that repair work.
Yes, although we're glad California is getting some rain.
Yes.
It's time for that station break thingy when I tell you how you can play an active part in the Aquarimax community. If you want your questions or comments featured on the show, send us an email at info@aquarimax.com or call and leave a message at 801-477-0629. You can also subscribe to the Aquarimax YouTube channel, like our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
And now for a blatant but extremely brief plug.
Our ebook, The Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, is available on Amazon.com for $2.99.
Now we're going to move on to Matt in Perth, Western Australia.
Okay, this is hello, Aquarimax. I have ordered a Mantra 2-foot marine light and a 4-foot COB. Remind me what that means.
COB?
Advanced Freshwater Light.
Oh, I think that's the brand.
Oh, okay.
Believe.
Well, they're all capitalized, so I thought maybe.
Or not the brand, sorry, the model.
Okay.
I believe it's the model.
A 4-foot COB advanced freshwater light for my aquariums. This is exciting. It means I will finally be able to buy any coral, including SPS, for my 2-foot nano aquarium. It also means my 4-foot aquarium have perfect lighting to get some amazing plant growth. I'm looking forward to getting some of the harder to grow plants and having them thrive under the new lights.
Cool. That sounds fun.
And oh, he has a note to me. He says, I am sorry, Kelly, but the lightning storm feature does exist in some LED lights. It is a party trick to show off to guests, as far as I can tell. Although I can't find it mentioned in the Douala light descriptions. Perhaps the thunderstorm lightning could be triggered in time with a particularly scary part in a movie or the TV with the roof lights out. I am waiting for the laser light show edition, hopefully in the next iteration of LED pictures. Although you can't really blame me, because Russ makes up a lot of stuff. I know he doesn't on the podcast. We've talked about this before, too, because this is the funny thing about this podcast, how it's developed. In every other aspect of our life, I am the straight one, and Russ is the goofy one. But for some reason, doing this podcast, because Russ is, well, not some reason, it's just because Russ is the one who knows what he's talking about, and I am just along for the ride. I become the plucky comic book relief when we turn on the field recorder and Russ is the straight guy. But everywhere else, he just makes up weird stuff all the time. In fact, we had to have a code word for our kids because he would be making stuff up and our youngest daughter, Gwen, would get kind of confused and wouldn't know if he was joking or not. And so we told her, Gwen, you can always just say, really, Babbo? They call him Babbo. That's the Italian, Tuscan Italian for daddy. But so she can say, really, Babbo? And he'll tell her, yes, really, or no, I'm joking.
Just to make sure that, you know, that it's always.
They can always clarify. Find out.
They always know yes. Whether I'm joking or not. Make it really clear.
So you can't really blame me for thinking he's making crap up.
Did you just really say that on the podcast? You totally did.
Okay, sorry. Making stuff. I don't know, guys. The stories I could tell you. He's looking at me like he's going to get in trouble. Okay. Excuse me. Onward with the email. The Tons 9001 has successfully started producing Skimmate. What's Skimmate?
Skimmate is the stuff, the protonaceous sort of gooey, bubbly stuff that comes out of the water. That's the waste
that it's pulling
organic
out of the
water. Waste, the proteins, okay. And the things like that you're trying to remove okay. From the water. Yes.
What do you do with it?
You dump it. Dump
like
it out.
It goes into a container and you just dump it.
It goes into a little cup and
in
you
the garbage
take
or
out
in
the cup
sink
and you can dump it down. Yeah.
Toilet.
Probably all three.
Doesn't matter.
I'd probably okay. Just dump it in the garbage myself. Okay. But.
A satisfying feeling removing gunk from the water. Although the skimmer is not the only noise-producing item in the aquarium anymore. No, it turns out my turbid snails are drummers. At night, sometimes they try to clean the heater too vigorously, and their shells slap against the heater, making an audible clicking noise. I kept waking up looking for the source of the noise to see a perfectly healthy-looking aquarium. Then once the lights were out again, the drumming resumed. Now that I know the source of the noise, I feel relaxed about their acoustic ambitions. They were teasing you. Hey, guys! As soon as he turns out the light, beat on the heater! Wake him up!
Snails are funny that way. I've never had that particular experience, but I can totally see that. That's funny.
There's another thing I know we've probably talked about before on the podcast, but when we were living in Hawaii, and it was on campus housing, and I think it was Thursdays, like every Thursday night, the Tahitian Club would have their meetings on campus their practices, yeah, at like 9 or 10 at night.
Until about 11.
And so we'd be trying to sleep, and there's all this drumming. It was cool drumming.
It's Tahitian drums. It sounds cool, but we used to joke that 10:30.
Gwen's lullabies were Tahitian drums, and yeah. That's what she fell asleep to all the time as a baby. Okay, so email. So I have been researching filtering methods for my 6 foot, and I have come across Miracle Mud. It's not a facial product?
Maybe it's both. Maybe it's dual purpose.
As far as I can tell, it works like aquaponics, but for marine systems. Ooh, that's cool. The sump starts with mechanical filtrations to break up the waste into small particles. Then the water is pumped over a bed of 5 centimeter or 2 inch thick sand, which contains many goodies, and then back up into the display tank. The sand ends up infested with life, in particular macroalgae, to absorb the nutrients from the display tank. What do you think of this system?
Well, though I've never used it, I've been intrigued by it. I think your comparison with aquaponics is apt in many ways, and I've also heard that it is a good way to add certain trace elements back into the water. That the Miracle Mud contains, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the trace elements that corals need.
So the sand is the product.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that it returns those substances to the water. And that's one of the benefits that it provides. But plants, or the macroalgae too, growing in there, makes it in essence a veggie filter too. So, uh-huh. Yeah, I haven't used it, but it does sound like a good way to do it, a pretty natural way to help filter the tank, and adds that additional interest that your food gym has various things growing in it, and you're going to be producing food for your main tank too, because you're going to be getting amphipods and copepods and isopods and various things who are going to be living in that sand, and some of them will end up back in the main tank, you know, depending on how mm-hmm. you've plumbed your refugium, but that's always a benefit too, so I think it's a pretty good method all the way
around.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah. So we'll look forward to hearing more about that and seeing hopefully some video or pictures of Matt's new setups with his LED light. You know what would be really cool? It might be too late, but a before and after picture. Oh, the lighting or video,
yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, with maybe all the lights off in the house or something. And,
mm-hmm.
Before, this is what my lights look like. Now, this is what my lights look like. That'd be fun. And maybe, you know, hopefully some updates as the corals and the plants are really able to respond to the lighting, too. That would be really cool.
Well, I think that's everything for this week. Do we have anything this week? Mm. Oh, you have a new video.
Oh, I do. And this time it's not a fishy video. I think the last video I released was a shrimpy video. This one's a gecko-y video.
It is.
It's a quick guide to morning geckos. So I know several of our podcasting contributors, our Aquarimaxers out there, are interested in geckos as well. Mm-hmm. And so if you are and you'd like to check it out, or you're just a little curious, or you just want to be nice, you can check out our video.
There's some cute shots of the geckos.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of fun. So mm-hmm. That's our video for this week. We're my goal for Aquarimax YouTube channel is to try to get 1 million views by the end of the year. And we are at about 350,000 views, I think, right now. Somewhere in there.
So we got a little ways to go.
But at least I'll get as close as I can to the goal.
Mm-hmm.
My goal that I have recently met was 1,000 subscribers. So thanks to all of you Aquarimaxers who have subscribed to the Aquarimax YouTube channel. We've got almost 1,100 subscribers now.
Oh, good.
So it's coming along. And if you have requests for particular videos that you'd like to see us
topics
add.
Topics you want a video on.
And for those of you who are adding contributor videos like Daphne did this time and Finn did. Video of himself, then
a fishy selfie.
Yeah, So we always appreciate that too. That's an important part of the Aquarimax YouTube channel and really adds a lot to the podcast, rounding things out in different directions. So we appreciate those as well. And let's see, anything else? I think that's about it. My Opiola tank is going well with the new little algae moss ball that we're growing in there. It looks like it's actually growing already.
Oh, good.
And just a few little hairs are extending from it now. It's looking good, and the shrimp are having fun with it, crawling around on it. I've taken a little video of that I may eventually release. I have not yet released the aquaponics video, but I will.
We'll get there.
I just need a chunk of time. That's in short supply lately. But we'll do that as well, so you'll get to find out the video and
the audio.
Audio as well. So that's in the works. Yeah, I think that's about it. So,
may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.